everybody. Welcome to the Good Evening Kitties podcast, a Tales from the Crypt review. My name is Melissa, your ghostest with the mostest, and today's episode is Season 3, Episode 11, Split Second. This is a very sexy, romantic, pulpy novel of an episode. It definitely reads more like a trashy romance novel that just ends really bloody. I mean, it's definitely one you remember, but it's I don't know. We'll get into it. We'll get into this split second. It's kind of a special episode in a way. So, this episode, again, Season 3, Episode 11, Split Second. As always, John Kassir does the voice of the Crypt Keeper, and Danny Elfman does the theme song. This episode was directed by Russell McKay. Also directed the movies Highlander and Resident Evil Extinction. The screenplay is by Richard Christian Matheson, and it stars Brian James from movies such as Blade Runner and The Fifth Element, Michelle Johnson from movies such as Waxwork and Dr. Giggles, and Billy Wirth from movies such as The Lost Boys. This episode aired August 7th, 1991, and here's the description on the back of the box here. Timber! A group of lumberjacks have a way of cutting their cruel boss and his predatory wife down to size. So yeah, this one gets pretty exciting here. So, this episode, is about lumberjacks, and so, of course, in the opening, it's gonna start with the Crypt Keeper dressed up as a cute little lumberjack. He's not wearing a hat this time, so it's kinda, I mean, normally he does, but it's like, the way, like, he's in his chair, and sharpening up his axes. He's got a log next to him with an axe in it, and he's sitting there with like one of those rotating wheelie things, and he's sharpening up the axe, and it's like sparking and things like that. And he's got his flannel on, and it's really neat puppetry of just like him holding the axe because he's actually holding it, you know, and kind of stuff. But he's really missing some hair, I think, in this one, or I don't know. He just looks really balding with like a little like fuzzy mullet on the back. I don't know. It just wasn't quite working for me. I think I preferred him with a little hat. So he's basically bringing in the episode and throwing the axes around, and there's just a lot of wood, and it just brings it into a really, really fun episode. Again, Season 3, Episode 11, Split Second. I might say that still probably one more time. You clicked on the episode. You know what it is. So it cuts to this, it opens up into this bar, right? And it's like a bar, I guess, local to the area. There's chainsaws up on the wall. Like, this is a logging town. This is a bunch of guys out here at this bar. They're all in flannels. And, you know, there's a couple women, but it's mostly men. And they're all just, like, kind of mountain men who work on the land and on the logging trees in this forest. I think, like, in the Pacific Northwest or somewhere. And there's a woman here. She's a waitress, played by Michelle Johnson. Her name is Liz. She does a lot of narration in her own head in this episode. There's a lot of, like, just talking to herself to narrate the episode. She really doesn't have a lot of lines that she says, like, compared. And so she's talking about how she took this job at Cummings Saloon, and, you know, it's not quite what she wanted, and it's kind of crummy. She's trying to save up to get a bus ticket out, and I'm like, bus tickets aren't all that expensive. I mean, the money, she says the money's terrible, which I'm like, it must be really terrible. I guess by the time you pay for, like, somewhere to stay and things like that, you gotta think about where you're gonna go. So yeah, maybe it does cost a lot. And she's got these really great mom jeans on that she's wearing. She's got, like, a white tank top and then, like, a white, like, wife beater, or I guess they don't call it that, a white A-line shirt and these mom jeans, and they're real bunchy, like, in the front. And yeah, it's just very, very 1991. And she's bringing drinks to these guys, and, you know, they're all kind of flirting with her, and, like, it's kind of implied that she's a little loose, you know, that she's kind of slept around with some of the guys here, so she's kind of got a reputation. There's this guy here who, his name's Banjo, and he's kind of hitting on her, and he's pretty drunk. He's kind of like, it's one of those things where he, like, I guess they had hooked up once before, so he's like, you know, we should do that again. And she's like, no, that was a mistake. And he's like, you know, that thing where, like, they feel like you don't think you're good enough for them. I don't know. It was really annoying. I was like, oh gosh. So she's basically just telling him to get lost. Like, she's like, go home. You're drunk. We're not going to do this. I don't want to. Please go away. It was a mistake what happened last time. I don't want this. And he's like grabbing on her and stuff. And he's saying things like, it was really annoying because he's saying things like, if I got you drunk enough, like she would. I'm like, oh my gosh, dude. So during this, you know, he's kind of grabbing on her and this man comes up and splits them up and yells at him and puts a gun to his neck and is like, get off of her. She said no. And he tries, this kid tries to like pull a knife on her or pull a knife on the guy, and his name is Mr. Dixon. And he like knocks it out, you know, of his hands and puts the gun closer to his neck and is like, apologize to the lady. And so he was like, I'm sorry, Liz, and all this stuff. And he's like, okay. And so while this is happening, Liz is like talking to herself in her head, watching him, and she's like, ooh, like she likes this like knight in shining armor thing. And Mr. Dixon is probably like 20 years older than her. Not the best looking dude. I mean, like comparatively, you know, he's just like an old mountain man with like this mullet type thing. Honestly, what the Crypt Keeper looked like in the beginning would maybe be what the dead Mr. Dixon would look like after a while. I don't know. I'm not trying to be like mean or anything, but they kind of made it similar looking. If Mr. Dixon were to like rot, that's what he would look like. But she's really liking this. She's like, ooh, yeah, I like that. She just wants some guy to take care of her. And she likes when a man fights for her or fight, you know, they want to fight over her. That's what kind of gets her blood pumping. So she's like, cool. He might even be older than 20 years than her. And so he throws this guy out and he's like, goes up to Liz and he's like, hey, I'm sorry. You know, has he hurt you? Are you okay? And she's like, no, I'm fine. And he says, thank you so much, you know, and all this. And then he asks to buy her a drink.
The lady's not interested. You got that?
Fuck off, Dixon!
Drop the knife. Drop it! This how you want to die, shit heel?
I wasn't exactly looking for a knight in shining armor, but I did like being fought over. Those days, I was getting offended a lot more than I was getting defended.
Apologize to the lady.
I'm sorry, man.
Good boy. Now get the fuck out of here. He didn't hurt you, did he, ma'am?
No. That was nice of you. Thanks.
Can I buy you a drink?
And she's like, all right. Then you cut to some time later. I guess the bar's closing. It's getting late, and they're kind of doing like the last dance. They had a couple of slow drink or a couple of slow drinks. They had a couple drinks and a slow dance, and she's kind of narrating it. And she's like, "Well, you know, so a couple of drinks later and a slow dance, and then he asked me to be his wife, and I was like, all right, because he says he has money that he could take care of her." And he didn't say that he like loved her or anything, but he was just like, I have money and I could take care of you and come with me. I live up on this mountain thing with this lumber company I run. And she's like, all right. And I was like, that was a really quick engagement. I don't even know if she knows his full name. Like, she was like, okay, sure, get me out of here. And so they get married. And then it shoots to the Dixon Lumber Company. So he has his own company. It's a bunch of these guys out there using chainsaws and they're, you know, cutting wood and they're all in flannel and, you know, just like pretty decent looking lumberjack dudes. And so just got done doing it. And she's still narrating all this in her head. She's like, you know, he's got money. It's been cool. You know, he got a big house up here, this lumber camp, and he's actually pretty good in bed. This is going to work out. And so it cuts to like one of the like... There's like a break room kind of thing for all the other lumberjack guys. And they're up there and they're kind of talking like, okay, we got this wood chopping contest coming up. I guess one of their other workers had to leave or something. And so we need someone to get on this wood chopping contest. I guess you don't use a chainsaw. You like really have to actually axe the wood and it's all this stuff. So like they're all talking about that. And then they're also kind of gossiping like, hey, you know, I heard Mr. Dixon got married.
What the hell are we going to do about the annual tournament this year? Now that Wolf's gone, we got nobody to put on the wood chopping contest.
Hey, Snaz, you won't believe it.
Hey, Artie, I'm talking here.
Someone just said that Dixon got married last night to one of the waitresses down at Cummings' place.
Oh, get out of here. Dixon ain't the marrying kind.
I know, but that's what they're saying. Said he went off and got hitched to Liz Kelly.
Her?
Yeah.
No! Oh, wow. Well, I didn't know Dixon was into sloppy seconds.
And as they're talking, Mr. Dixon comes up there and he's like, I want to let you guys know that we're moving over to the north side of the mountain. And even the guys are like, why? There's hardly anyone there. And he's like, I know, but there's these environmentalists apparently that are trying to protect he says some fucking moth or something. And he's like, I could lay you guys off or we could move. And they're like, all right, well, we appreciate you keeping us here. And then he eventually is like, oh yeah, you know, I got married. And everyone's like, oh, hey, congratulations. And then he's like, yeah, my wife's up here. You know, her name is Liz. And in their heads, they're like, yeah, we know about Liz. And they're like, does that mean that we can have women up here now? They're like, because we're kind of lonely. And he's like, no, she's only up here because she's my wife. And I'm like, okay, so only Mr. Dixon can get laid is the rule up here. And just as they're talking about that, Liz comes up there in like this like midriff tank top and these short shorts and coming up there like, oh, hey, baby, breakfast is ready. And all the guys are like, oh, hey, you know. And Mr. Dixon is just like, no, like she is not supposed to be there. He's very jealous. He doesn't want anyone looking at her. He tells her to go back down to the house, you know, like these guys, they've never seen a woman in a long time, I guess, you know, and he's just really extremely jealous. He's like, I don't want you in here ever. You know, he tells her to go, and so she goes, and he's getting ready to head out the door, and he hears one of the workers, I think his name is Snaz, saying some offhanded comment about how Liz gets around. And he's like, what'd you say? And he just goes off. Mr. Dixon grabs this guy, and he really hurts him. Like, that I'm sort of kind of surprised that no one did anything. Like, it cuts to him. I think he took it was like the butt of an axe, or like the stick end of the axe, or like, yeah. And he's pushing it down to his throat, and I think he busted his teeth in, so there's like blood everywhere. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's really like hurting this guy. Like, what? And everyone's just kind of like, dude, stop. And then like, he's just like, don't ever say that about my wife again. And finally they pull Mr. Dixon off. They're like, he can't breathe and stuff. Yeah, I think he busted his front teeth in or something. But it's pretty gross. And I was like, geez, all right. And everyone's just like cool with it and gets back to work. He comes back, Mr. Dixon comes back up there, and he's all mad. And she's like, what? And I guess he got super jealous, so then he wanted to prove he could do her better or something. So then he has sex with her like real aggressively. And it's hilarious because he's doing that, and she's just like laying there staring off in the distance, like just whatever, thinking in her own mind. And then she just rolls away from him. I'm like, yep, okay. Like, she was like, uh-huh. And she's like, now I'm getting bored. She wants to be able to do what she wants to do. And so as time's going by, she's pretty much stuck in the house, just doing whatever, kind of bored, just reading magazines, smoking cigarettes, and lounging around. None of the guys will even look at her or talk to her or anything. She has like no one to talk to because they're all afraid of Mr. Dixon, you know, killing them. And then there's this knock at the door, and there's a new man there, and I believe his name is Ted. And Ted is here, I believe played by Billy Worth, and he's this young, strapping man.
Sorry to bother you so early, ma'am. My name's Ted. Morgan? I come looking for a job.
What, do I look like a fucking employment agency?
Well, no, ma'am. What I meant was, this here is a logging camp, isn't it?
Who the hell is that?
Don't know.
Yeah? What do you want?
Well, sir, I was just telling your wife. I come looking for a job.
Maybe things are picking up around here.
Yeah.
Looks like a cure for boredom just showed up at my doorstep.
And she's immediately, you know, enthralled by him. And Mr. Dixon comes up and kind of pulls her out of the way. And he's like, hey, sir, you know, I need a job. And he's very professional and very polite. And he's more Liz's age and everything. And she's like, ooh, it looks like a cure for my boredom just showed up, you know, in her head. She's like, all right. But yeah, so they take Ted out to kind of go around the area and show him all the stuff and meet the guys. And he's like, yeah, I'm broke and I just need somewhere to go. Let me show you how I can do the axing. So he gets to, like, he takes his shirt off. He like has this tank top thing on and then his jeans. And he gets up there all muscular with his axe and he just starts, they're like, and go. And they time him and he just starts hacking at this huge log. And he's doing a pretty decent job. It's a decent form and everything, I guess. But I'm like, I mean, I guess this was to kind of show off for the wood chopping contest, but because I'm like, what else would you be trying to prove axing like that? You're going to throw out your back or you're going to wear out. These guys are like chopping down huge trees. And so they're all impressed. Ooh, here's a new contender for our wood chopping contest. So Ted gets the job. And this part's funny because this whole time Liz is snuck out there and she's watching him cut the wood. And she's like, ah, yeah. She likes what she sees. And Mr. Dixon sees her staring behind the tree and he's immediately like, super pissed, like, why are you here? He knows that this Ted guy is going to be trouble, you know, or at least that Liz is going to be trouble, and that he needs to keep an eye on all this. he's mad. So he's like, okay, you can get the job and you can do this wood chopping contest, but when you're on my clock, you have to use a chainsaw. And he's like, all right, yeah, that's cool. You know, so like I said, I like Ted. I mean, he's just a young, polite beefcake kind of dude who's just trying to make a living. And so later, for some reason, Ted has to go back to their house and he's looking for Liz and he's like, Mrs. Dixon, you know, where are you? He's like, it's Ted. And oh, that's right. Okay, so Liz said she needed a box moved and somehow I guess Ted got assigned that. And she's in the shower, or at least you hear a shower, and she's like, I'm up here, I can't hear you, what? And so he slowly comes in there, and I don't know what he's expecting to happen. He walks in there, and when he does, she's like getting out of the shower, or like starting to get out of the shower, and he's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And it's like, you heard the shower, but she's not sorry. She's basically coming on to him, and she's like,
did you dry my back for me?
I don't think I should be in here, Mrs. Dixon.
Liz. I'm not gonna hurt you, Ted. I just want you to dry my back. Maybe you'd like to get the front first? Oh, okay, you win. Back first.
Listen, I'll come back later. I shouldn't be here. Mr. Dixon wouldn't approve.
Oh, will you dry my back? And I'm like, you can drive your own back. Like, why are you... Basically, what she's doing is pretty much it's sexual assault. She's sexually assaulting him because he's trying to be good. He doesn't act like he's wanting any of this. He's like, ma'am, I could get in a lot of trouble. You're married. I'm just trying to work. And she's sitting here like all naked, like, will you dry my back? And I'm like, bitch. And she basically just reaches down and grabs his crotch through his jeans. And he's like, oh my gosh. And he freaks out. And you know, there's some boobs and stuff here, boobs. Like she tries to kiss him and he's like, no, I don't want any of this. Leave me alone. And he takes off and he leaves a glove behind. And so she keeps the glove because she likes to make guys fight for her. So she wants to make Mr. Dixon jealous. And I'm like, I don't think she realizes just how crazy her husband is. He will kill somebody. And so it cuts to that same bar and Ted and some of the guys are there. And he's like, you know, she came on to me. I think she's really hot, but I'm not stupid. You know, I'm not going to like do anything like that. She's beautiful. And they're like, the other guys are like, dude, just stay away. One of the guys kind of like, you maybe should go for it, but basically like, you know, you should stay away. And then Mr. Dixon shows up and he's, again, super pissed because he found a work glove in his bedroom, which is exactly what Liz wanted to happen. So now he's trying to figure out who was in his bedroom. And they're like, dude, this woman is driving you crazy. Like, he's so good. The guy who's playing Mr. Dixon is so good at looking, his eyes are just so paranoid. And they're like, dude, this Liz girl is making you paranoid and crazy. You know what? You're really losing it as our boss. We're gonna go. And so it cuts later. I don't know why this guy always seems to be alone. Cuts later to like their bunkhouse, I guess, where they all sleep. And Liz comes in with this white dress on. She just likes to seduce guys. This is where I started to get mad at her. Like, really mad at her. She comes in and she's like kind of seducing him and why are you mad at me? And straddling him and everything. And eventually he caves and the door's like wide open and everything. And she's taking her clothes off and eventually he caves and they start to do it, you know? And then it's weird because it's like, even though he thought she was beautiful and stuff, he's automatically like, your body's so great. I can't believe this is happening. And it's like, you're gonna die, man. It's like the door is right open. It's not so like, you know, and there's a whole long sex thing here. You're like, cool. So, all of a sudden, Mr. Dixon appears in the doorway.
Oh. You son of a bitch!
He forced me! He made me!
She's lying, Mr. Dixon. She came here and seduced me!
And this is where I was super mad at Liz, because as soon as he comes in, because she sets this up because she wants Mr. Dixon to be mad and fight for her and have guys fight over her. And as soon as he runs in, like, you son of a bitch, I'm gonna kill you. She's like, he forced me, he made me. And I'm sitting there and I literally yelled out. I was like, you dumb bitch. I was like, Liz, oh my gosh, you're so stupid. Like, what are you doing? Like, gosh, why, you're so horrible. I also find it weird when, like, in those scenes where it's like, I was glad that Ted at least tried to fight some of it. Because a lot of times in movies or shows, she'll come onto them and then they'll just see a pair of boobs and be like, oh my gosh, I can't help it. And it's like, yeah, you can. If you really didn't want to. So I was glad he at least fought it a little bit in this one. But yeah, I was like, Liz, whatever. And so she had no idea just how bad her husband is. And so he beats the crap out of this guy, hits his face up against like the beam post. And he takes the back of this axe and hits him in the head. or like hits him across the face, and he blinds him. He hits him so hard in the head that he blinds Ted. He doesn't kill him, which I'm kind of surprised. It's pretty gross. And Liz is like, oh my god, like I think she didn't realize just how crazy he was. But then she's also kind of edging him on. I don't know, she's just as bad. They cut to like, you know, they said the doctor said the blindness was going to be permanent, and he's just laying there with his eyes open and he's got like a head wound on. But it's like they just like the doctor just come and bandage him up, say it was permanent, and then they just left him there. Like he didn't go home, he didn't quit, he's just laying back in the bunkhouse, and all the guys are talking to him, and I'm like, why is he still there blind? Why is this not like a assault charge or something? Like, what is happening? And like he can't work. And so the next morning, Snaz and some of the other guys come out to get Ted. The guys have been all sick of it. All his workers have been sick of it. And they're like, come on, Ted, we're going to go do that competition. But this time it was with the chainsaw, so I don't know. We're going to go do this competition and we want to enter you in it. And he's like, well, how am I supposed to do it? I'm blind. And he's like, yeah, but you're a natural. You got this. So they take him out to practice this tournament. And he's kind of like swinging this chainsaw around and just like teaching them how to chop these logs and stuff, and they're kind of making him, having him practice, and Liz is watching from the window like, what are they doing? He's blind. And he also has, they give the blind man a chainsaw and he has no goggles on and his eyes are completely open. I mean, yeah, you're blind, but do you want chips of wood in your eye? Because that's how you get chips of wood in your eye. It cuts to Mr. Dixon. He's like signing checks and stuff. The guys come out there and they're like, hey, Ted's learned this new trick and we want to show you the trick. And he's like, I don't care. And so they stick a knife to his throat and they're like, you're gonna come with us. And so this part's kind of cool because they have it set up where it's like these two long, like two half-cut trees that are kind of thick and probably like 6 feet tall, and you can't see into them. So it's kind of cool. And then they set Ted up, and of course, like he's blind, they're all like, you got this, Ted, woo. And he starts to cut, and he's cutting it into like these little chunks, like fourths chunks. And as he's cutting it, all this blood starts coming out and hitting him in the face. And I know he's got to feel it, but he just keeps going and he's super excited. And all the guys are excited and they're getting hit with blood. And you realize that Mr. Dixon is inside the tree. Maybe they're about 6 feet tall. I don't know. Mr. Dixon's inside the tree and he's got like a bandana in his mouth. And I know Ted is feeling it. He knows. I think he's in on it. He's scared, but he's still doing it. So I don't know. He chops them into like 3 or 4 pieces. And I guess they figure like no one's going to catch them. They're on the north side. No one's ever out there. We could just hide the body, no one will know. And so then they're like, okay, well, now you got to get the next log. And they go to the next log, and there's Liz, and she's in there, and she's got tears in her eyes, and she's gagged, and they push over Mr. Dixon's log, and it's pretty cool. Like, it kind of splits into 4 pieces, like a, what's it called? Like a beef Wellington is kind of what it looks like with him in the inside. And they're like, all right, cool, you ready for the next one? And he's like, yeah. So both Liz and Mr. Dixon are getting taken out by the logger team, which you're like, cool, good, because they were both pretty horrible. Yeah, you shouldn't kill people, but you know what I mean? Like, it was satisfying. And it's kind of neat how it's all set up. And so Liz is kind of narrating on the way out, and she's like,
great work, kid. You ready for the next one?
Snaz and Artie and the boys had found what I'd spent years looking for. The cure for a terminal case of boredom.
And all the guys are like hooting and hollering. And they're gonna take out Liz. They just taken over the lumber company. And that's the end of the episode. Mr. Dixon and Liz have both been killed by the rest of the loggers. And so it cuts to the crypt keeper, and he's, you know, hanging out in the crypt. And now he's got a little hard hat on, so he looks a little better. Crypt keeper, you're so punny. And the best crypt keeper pun is,
I guess Liz was right. A good man is hard to find. Especially after he's been chopped into so many pieces.
So many pieces. Get it? Because they're like chopped up in the pieces. Ugh, so good. And then it shows him. He's got a chainsaw. This part's pretty fun. He's got a chainsaw. And apparently it's the producer or something of the show. There's a man tied up there in a similar fashion up against a tree, kind of leaning. And he touches him with the chainsaw that's not working because it's not moving. But then the guy's like flopping around like these, you know, he's like chopping up the producer of the show or whatever. So that was kind of fun. So yeah, it's a pretty fun episode. Definitely check it out if you haven't seen it. Season 3, episode 11, Split Second. There is a little trivia for this episode. Some of this episode was shot on the sets used in the television series Twin Peaks, which is also what makes me think it's in the Pacific Northwest. So that's kind of cool, like around the same time they were shot. If you've ever seen the series Twin Peaks from the 90s, and then it was also continued this past year or so. So yeah, so that was neat. So the next episode is season 3, episode 12, Deadline. Thank you all so much for listening and for supporting the podcast. I also have a Twitter handle now for the podcast. It's at Gek Podcast, which is at GEK Podcast. You can also follow me on Facebook. You can like, rate, review, subscribe. Please leave me a review on iTunes. It lets me know you're listening and it really helps me out. And I really appreciate it. It's real exciting to get a new review. If you have any other questions or comments, you can email me also at goodeveningpod@gmail.com. Again, thanks you guys so much for listening, and I hope you liked the episode.
I just had quite a scare. I actually thought my heart was beating.